It sounds like ice.
It is. I hope it is. Yes. It's drowned out by the bottom shelf whiskey, whatever it is.
Oh, it's not completely bottom shelf, isn't it? Is it second to bottom shelf?
It's no, I went bottom shelf.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you held out till Friday, too.
I know.
It's been
reservoirs of strength.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Dig deep. Got to dig deep. Hey, want to know how deep I dug today, Damien?
How deep did you dig?
I was able to cross lizard balls off my list.
I want to say good for you, but I'm gonna need some more explanation for that.
All right. Well, it wasn't as quite as satisfying as I thought it would be. We have this bearded dragon. Have we told him about the bearded dragon?
I don't know, but he's great, and I think everyone.
He's pretty cute.
I think most people. I think if you want a bearded dragon, you should get a bearded dragon.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty great.
They're pretty great, especially if you can find a giant tank at the dump on like the very day of your son's birthday, as we did. So that was pretty helpful because the equipment is expensive. But anyway, we have this bearded dragon now. He's shedding as we speak. He's pressed himself up against the glass like one of those Garfields with the suction cups on the, remember
yes.
those?
Oh gosh, yes.
That's how he sleeps. He pushes himself up against the glass and then he just conks out. Well, we saw these videos on YouTube of bearded dragons like frisking around and playing with balls. So we thought, you know, he seemed a little bored because he can't read, he's illiterate. And what is he going to do all day? He can't be on the internet because his eyes are on two sides of his head. You know, he has some fun in his hammock. He's got a stick. So we got him some balls. We got these, like, practice golf balls. And I threw one in there, and he didn't think very much of it. So I put another one in. He was also equally unimpressed by that. And then Corey noticed what I was doing, so she, one by one, it was a bag of, like, 20 balls. So she just kept on throwing these bright orange balls in there, and that is the complete end of the story. He has not noticed them, as far as I can tell.
Doesn't seem all that excited.
No.
He's still a little...
We should get him a slinky.
He would get caught in that. Yeah, he's not that big yet.
No, he's not that big, and he's not that smart.
No. He's got a lot of personality, though.
He does. He thinks he's pretty hot stuff.
Yeah.
He tries to be intimidating sometimes. Like, if we come in, he's like, where have you been?
Yeah, he like, follows us around in his tank. It's pretty funny.
That's unexpected. Anyway, well, I guess that's as good a way as any. And Damien just ran out of the room. I'm not 100% sure why. I think the washing machine was making an alarming noise. And since we just went for, how long was it? Was it 11 years we went without a washing machine just now?
I would like to say that the General Electric Corporation has...
sucks lizard balls, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst. We thought we were going to be like real grown-up people. And buy a new machine
that comes with a manufacturer's warranty.
Yes, but also
a very generous manufacturer's warranty on paper.
Yep.
And we would buy the extended warranty.
The extended warranty, so that if anything went wrong, Damien wouldn't have to be, you know, lying on his ear in the mud, taking apart the bells of a washing machine for once, which you've done countless, numerous times over the last 18, 19 years.
I do feel bad
so.
About a couple of the repairs to the dryer that I did.
I don't want to know. I definitely don't want to know. We haven't.
But we lived.
There was no fires. So we thought this time it'll be easy. Can you do the incredulous belly laugh thing that you do?
I don't have it in
no,
me.
No, yeah.
With
sorry.
The GE story, you. I don't have it in me.
It was so terrible. They're such terrible people. And they lied.
It got to the point, like, every morning before I go to work,
around.
I would get on the phone and be like, hi, bastards. How have you fucked me over today?
Like, hi, Damien. And then the best part was where they said that they could reimburse us for laundromat expenses because
right.
we're spending, what, 50, 75 bucks at the laundromat because it was 12 of us and we pee on everything. It was a lot of laundry that needed
us.
To be done. Well, and so they said, sure, we can do that for you. We will reimburse you. Just send us the receipts.
That may have caused another yelling fit for me. I did a lot of yelling on the phone.
You've been to a laundromat. They always, every single time you put a quarter in, this little receipt pops out, you know, right after the valet decides to iron your shoelaces for you, because that's how that works.
And I went to a pretty nice laundromat,
mm-hmm.
but I used different dryers. I used, because every dryer I used smelled like cat pee.
Well, I mean.
And then you go in there, yeah. and there's some old ladies in there.
And we don't.
And I don't know what they're washing. But I'm pretty sure it smells like cat pee.
Necessarily washing anything, or if they just kind of like to be at the laundromat, which it's warm in there. You know, it's kind of
steamy.
There's
a TV going.
There's little kids running around. It's like, you know, it's.
Do you think people are dropping off their nanas for like some kind of like elder care?
I can only hope for such a good life when it comes to me.
I'm just going to fold this laundry. Excuse me.
Well, when I went there, it was college girl day. It was like the day when all the college girls were starting off and they had their like field hockey uniforms or something. And they were, I just wanted to, oh my, if I had had a hammer, you would have been raising bail money right now because they were driving me crazy. Like it's not that funny. You're in the laundromat, you're washing your clothes. There's nothing to laugh about.
They've never washed clothes before, is my guess.
I don't imagine they did. I don't think they've even had a quarter before. You know, it wasn't a credit card, so they're using real, you know, real American jingly change.
Oh, how retro.
Anyway, I may have been a little bit tense. I don't know. Hey, you know what else I have on my list?
What do you have on your list?
I was going to ask you, have you heard the news about Taylor Swift?
I haven't
either. I don't know what it is. It says Taylor Swift on my list.
She's got a new song out.
Does she?
I got a text from one of our daughters.
Yeah.
Who said, "Have you heard the new Taylor Swift yet?" And I said, "No." And she said it was like Blank Slate but on crack. And I said, "Ooh." She said, "I love it." So there you go. That's the review.
What's she so bitter about? She doesn't even have a boyfriend.
Oh, Taylor Swift?
No.
I don't know. Oh, that one? No, yeah. She enjoyed it. It's enjoyable. Blank Slate is an enjoyable song.
Yeah, it is.
Taylor Swift makes enjoyable pop music.
I like Taylor Swift. I like her red lipstick. I like her squinty eyes. I like her she's a funny guy. I like her.
Can we get her a burger though?
I feel like she eats. She seems to me like somebody who eats like one good meal a day and then is just like too distracted the rest of the time. She's not like one of these like I have to, you know, excuse me, I can't raise my arms because I'm like sprouting chia seeds in my armpits right now for my kombucha whatever.
Oh, you know? I read a speaking of laundromat.
Yep.
There was a copy of the Oprah magazine.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes. And it was a special edition dedicated to racial issues in America. And look, I'm bored out of my skull. My laptop has died. The battery's done. So I'm like, all right, I'll read this. And there's not a fucking thing about race in it.
No.
Instead, there's a promo for an Oprah movie. There's recipes by Oprah. And then there's this long essay by this woman talking about that kombucha tea and how, like, you know, making the glop stuff with her neighbor brought them together and brought her into this community of kombucha tea drinkers. And she's like, it's insufferable bullshit. And I'm reading, and like, yeah. And then she went off to study creative writing at this university. It's like, holy shit, get these people out of the academy. Yeah, take away their mold shit juice that they're drinking and make them work at a real job. We need a jobs program to get all of these fuckers into real jobs.
Yeah, well, it's an industry. That's capitalism. That's capitalism right there. Somebody's buying it. You know, are you trying to take away their liberties or something?
I'm a statist.
I think he's a communist.
I'm not a communist. I just feel that certain people ought to be lined up against the wall and shot.
just occasionally, just like on bank
I've
days
got a
and
list.
Holidays. Oh, you have a list. Oh. Okay. Hey, speaking of list, all right, I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. Joss Whedon? Joss Whedon? Joss Whedon?
Oh, you mean woke Mr. Special was really a scumbag? Who could have fucking seen that coming?
When I heard that he was supposed to be a feminist because he had like little girls in hot pants running around like making out with people and then killing people, and that was supposed to be feminism. Wait a minute. Somebody hasn't been paying attention to something, and I don't think it was me this time. You know?
I mean, he always look, he's the college guy who figured out that if you call yourself a feminist, you can get with girls. That's it.
Yeah, I know.
And shame
on the girls
for
falling for that. That's a phony.
He's such an obvious phony.
Yeah. Well, I like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's a good show.
I didn't think it was high art or anything.
Not transcendent. It's no. Fun entertainment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this.
Yep.
People are going to get mad. You may lose a subscriber or two. Firefly sucks.
I haven't seen it, but I agree.
No, you remember that show with that theme song, the country theme song, and then it's in space?
Oh, that was stupid. I hated it.
It's a stupid show. It's a misogynistic show. That's one of the huge turnoffs for me was the treatment of women on Firefly. Josh.
I think he's trying to curry a little favor.
No. Like all of the characters are prostitutes that if there are women.
And
it's like when Clint Eastwood has a violent rape scene in every fucking movie.
Right.
I wonder if Clint has issues.
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah. Firefly, it's boring. It's not very well written, and it rips off the design of the spaceships directly from Cowboy Bebop, which I've recently discovered.
Which is also
your new favorite TV show. Not you specifically. I mean, everybody, the whole world out there. It's your new favorite TV show.
It's all right. I mean, I thought at this time in my career as a mother of many geeky children that I would be used to that anime look, and I still hate it. It just doesn't look good to me. It looks terrible to me. It looks like you're in seventh grade and you want to be an artist, and so you're doing that sketchy thing, so it looks like you're moody, but you really just don't know where to put your pencil. And
there's a little bit of that, I think, genre a little bit looks going like to me. Yeah. The show itself is funny.
I like the music. I understand that's why it's called Cowboy. I like the show because I can sit on, hang out with my family who are watching it, and I'm on Facebook and I'm enjoying the music and I feel like I'm interacting with people.
Music is good.
The music is good.
And there's a lot of, I'm realizing how much it has influenced other shows. There's a character that is an obvious, the character Mom from Futurama is obviously taken care from this character from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah. I love Mom.
Man, yes.
What else? Not to put.
I haven't got through the whole show yet.
Oh, okay. How many episodes of Firefly have you seen?
I gave it 3 episodes.
That's pretty good.
And then somebody said, "Oh, well, they showed it out of order," and so you're like, "No, it's fucking terrible." Okay, you can watch 3 episodes of The Sopranos out of order, and it's great TV.
Right, because each. What other? What the heck else did we just watch that was like that? That every episode was like a little short story.
You know, Boardwalk Empire.
Well, yeah. Well, that had sort of ebbs and flows. We just started rewatching that because the new season came on Amazon or Netflix.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, we had a professor in college who liked to talk about movies a lot. He was a very educated guy, strange guy, and you could have these long, long conversations with him about. Critical theory and all this stuff and talking about movies and everything. And he says, really, show me pretty pictures. And that's really what you want to see in a movie. Boardwalk Empire, they go all out creating that world. And it is gorgeous.
It is.
Every tiny last little detail.
Even when somebody gets his face shot off.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Or like cut off with an axe or chewed off or whatever.
Oh, boy, I wasn't that escape scene from the other night. It was pretty rough.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember. It was last night. I don't remember anything. I was reading something. I hadn't followed the whole Joss Whedon thing because it was Taylor Swift, Joss Whedon. I don't know. I'm too old. I'm too old. I don't know who these people are. They, Kate Cusino, though, was rich. She writes a blog called Peace and Pico for Pathos. And
Pico?
Pico, like tea.
I didn't know it was pronounced that way.
Okay.
Live and
now learn. You are making me question my pronunciation.
I thought it was Pioke.
Pioke?
I have a Pioke on my head.
But how could it be pronounced Pioke?
I don't know.
Well, when I was little, I thought nostalgia was pronounced Naglosta. And I harbored this secret in my heart for many, many years. And then it turned out I was stupid.
Photography.
Photography with everybody. Yeah. My grandmother claims that she met a man. This is when they were in their 70s already. Who told her that he had had a long day and he was feeling very fatty gait. He may have been like French Canadian or something, in which case it would actually be pronounced fatigué, but still fatigué is hilarious because that's what kind of podcast this is. So anyway, Kate was saying She was writing about Joss Whedon, and she is a fan of, as far as I know, of Firefly and of.
She's a good person. Other than that,
yeah. Everybody gets a few passes. She's not on your list, right?
No, she's
okay.
Not.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And she says it would be easy to use this revelation as a gotcha to say that it is unsurprising to see hypocrisy here because Whedon's professed beliefs invite hypocrisy to use his failure to live up to his own ideals as a weapon against those ideals. I'm sorry, I'm reading this a little bit out of context. She says, this explains it. It would be easy to say I am unsurprised because I, quote, always knew there was something sketchy about his vehement support of abortion on demand. And indeed, I opened up my blog editor intending to say just that. And then she said she realized that people who had like Joss Whedon fan sites were shutting them down because they actually idolized him so much, and this was a horrible revelation to them. It wasn't obvious to them that he was a phony. Like, to us, we're like, okay, that's not real feminism, right?
Right.
But to a lot of people, they completely believed in him and really idolized him. And she was talking in this post, it's called Kill Your Heroes, The Fall of Joss Whedon's Feminism. She says, when you flatten other human beings out into paper heroes and villains, black and white pieces on a world-scale game board, or caricatures playing on a global stage, you violate something more important and more true than any use their story has to your personal sense of your own identity and place in the world. You violate the real person, unique, complex, and contradictory, that your hero worship has flattened and used. It is human to look up to some people and to look down on others, but we know that many who are first will be last and the last first. It shouldn't surprise us to find vice or virtue in the last place we would look for it. So she's talking about finding virtue and admiring the virtue in people rather than admiring the people themselves as like one-dimensional characters. And it's so easy to do that, and that explains... Well, this is not a political blog, so I'm not going to podcast, so I'm not going to go into a lot of details. But this happens in every sector. You know, you admire some virtue in somebody, so you decide to admire the whole person and you defend them with your whole self.
Yeah,
and that leads you to compromise yourself horribly, and it leads you to compromise them. It depersonalizes them.
On another note, I've been trying to practice.
Clarinet,
you know,
yoga, hygiene.
Why do I do this?
I don't.
Why
know.
Am I here?
I don't know. It was your idea.
I'm gonna have a whiskey.
It was your idea.
You shut up! I don't care.
Oh, come on! It was just a joke.
I was gonna say something somewhat profound, but you know what? Fuck it.
I'll stop. All right, we'll get back to it. What else I got here? Hey, you want to talk about the solar eclipse?
No.
Oh, come on!
It's over.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm going to talk about
it. We both looked at the sun.
I'm going to shut off your microphone.
You can't because you don't know how.
I can figure it out at some point. All right, so anyway, down at the bottom of the sea, Damien, did you know that there's such a thing as a false bottom on the sea?
I thought this was a family podcast.
So anyway, there's this like layer of millions and billions and millions of sea creatures, like squids and plankton and whatnot, and all kinds of weird little squirmy creatures. Thousand slimy things, right? And it turns out that there's so many of them that if you look down, it looks like you're looking at the bottom of the sea, but actually it's this very thick layer of sea creatures. And when the sun sets, they all rise up together as one in one big like sea creature chunk. And then when the sun when the other thing happens, they do the other thing. So they rise. They rise and set. It's so late, and it was such a long week. And I'm not a scientist. Okay.
It was the worst damn week.
It was a pretty rough week. But here we are. So anyway, they didn't know if these creatures were doing this because they were responding to the light itself, or because they have these like biorhythms, just like you know, like when people get jet lagged, it's not just because they're, you know, it should be 9 o'clock, but it feels like it's 12 o'clock or something like that. It's because your actual like biorhythms
are stupid.
Right. Yeah. Because your body is set to a certain schedule. And when it gets confused, it doesn't know what to do and it feels terrible. So they didn't know if these creatures were were cycling up and down because of their biorhythms or because they were just responding to the light. So they waited until there was an eclipse because just parked their boat there. This is back in 1963, but they were just the Deep Sea News, which is a website that I didn't know about. I love, by the way, finding out about websites that are just devoted to one thing. I think there's something so lovely about, I mean, I'm sure the people who write Deep Sea News are also interested in other things, but the fact that there's just
Deep Sea News.
Yeah.
There. I like that.
Isn't it nice?
That is nice.
Because these are people who are also not talking about Donald Trump ever, I imagine. It's good to know.
Yes.
It's good to know that there are these little pockets. So this is back on the research ship in 1963. The moon roved into its place in front of the sun. Daylight rapidly faded, and the scientists solved the migration mystery. The deep layer of animals began to rise. Bioluminescent creatures started to shine, and nocturnal creatures started a frantic upward thrust. As the world grew darker, they swam upward nearly 80 meters, but this frantic migration didn't last long. As the moon receded and the sun revealed itself, the massive animal layer did an about-face, scrambling back into the safety of the darkness. One can only imagine the frenzy as millions upon millions of creatures clambered toward the surface and then just as quickly rushed back to the deep. Oh, no!
Boy, they must have been so confused.
It's very confusing. So, and I also, I was glad that the guy who writes Deep Sea News got a chance to write a sort of purple paragraph there. He probably maybe doesn't get that chance. Although, boy, under the sea is weird. That is far from the only strange thing that happens under the sea. I mean, they say that, you know, they know more about outer space, they know more about Jupiter than they do about the ocean on Earth.
So much non-kosher food down there.
Yeah. And also, like, a lot of stuff that, like, nobody would have to declare it non-kosher because, like, it just has, like, do not touch written on it.
I have no idea.
Do not want.
Yeah. Like blobfish?
Does he have a head or I'm not sure. Yeah, it's weird stuff. Very strange stuff. We used to have all these sets of encyclopedias. Like lots of encyclopedias, like different kinds, like different specialty encyclopedias and everything. And one of our favorites was looking at the different sea creatures, you know, the ones that have the little, they have the little like rod that goes out in front of their heads and with a little glowing bait stuck to it so that another fish comes and tries to eat it. And then it just opens up its wide mouth and gobbles it up. It's so crazy. What a lot of trouble to go to. It's hilarious. Yeah. Well, I don't want to go there, though. I have no interest in going down to a place where it's never light, where the sun doesn't reach at all. That's just not. Well,
not fun. Not. I mean, we'll have February soon enough.
Yeah, I know. All right, I am hearing a lot of kids crying upstairs,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
We've got a
tragedy cold going on right now where you get to hear the five-year-old describe in great detail exactly how it feels to have a stuffy nose because nobody else in the world has ever experienced a stuffy nose before. The poor little kid. I have a short poem that I would like to read, and then we're going to wrap this sucker up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, shoot, I just lost my place. Oh, are you kidding me? Hold on a second. I just click on it again. All right, so I was prepared. I was over-prepared because I tried to scroll and then I messed it up.
Yeah.
All right. I know you've heard that one before. This is an excerpt from The Lives and Times of Archie and Mehita Bell by Don Marquis. And I know I've read stuff from this book before. It's the free verse poet whose soul has transmigrated into the body of a cockroach and he now communicates by hurling himself head down onto a typewriter in the office of the city editor of the newspaper. So this just tickled my fancy for some reason. As I was crawling through a shoe store the other day, I heard two pairs of shoes talking to each other. "Well," says the first pair, "you needn't feel so smart. You've been marked down from $20 to $16. Well, I've been marked down from $21 to $18. "Well," says the second pair, "I make no claims to superiority, but I will say I think we are both doing damn well for $5 shoes." And I can raise my glass to that. I think we're doing damn well for $5 shoes, Damien.
Indeed.
All right.